Construction sites, and one of the construction sites, I worked on various construction sites, and they were very heavy-duty construction sites. One of them was the Barbican, I believe, and I was working down, for some reason, I have no idea why, I was working down a 50-foot trench, which was probably about 100 foot long, and about a few feet wide, maybe 6 foot wide. It was 50 foot down in the ground. And with pneumatic drills and against the breaking up concrete on a wall. I don't know why. It was dangerous. I think someone actually really literally lost their head on that site. I think an elevator cage came down and decapitated them. And I also nearly lost my life. I was working with a pneumatic drill and down on the bottom of that trench, and I heard this kind of soft clink, and I looked behind me, and the bayonet of a pneumatic drill, this long, you know, big heavy piece of steel, was just like a quarter of an inch from my heel, and I looked up, and the idiot who had thrown it down was about to throw the rest of the drill down as well. He was a little deranged. And if he had done so, I mean, he would probably have killed me. And another occasion, the hose pipe from that drill, from the drill I was using, came loose, the air pipe, and it just lashed around this heavy piece of steel on the end of it in this trench. And being the coward that I am, I just took off down the length of the trench. And one of the workers just stepped up to it and trapped it and caught it. But, you know, I looked at his hand and he had, like, two of his fingers missing. Not from that incident, from a previous incident, but the way they regarded their own lives and life in general, they held it pretty cheaply.
Gosh. So, did you put any of that in your paintings?
No, not really. I think the paintings are really celebratory. They're celebrating community involvement and the community. That's what those paintings are about. They're about people.
Yeah. Did you ever see David Finnington Savage? Did you see his work under Westway?
Yes. David Finnington and Desmond Rochford. Rochford, yes.
Yeah.
So that was a very important mural as well. Mm.
Yeah.
And then David was also... he initiated the Cable Street mural.
Yeah.
And when it was vandalized, certainly he was pretty distraught and destroyed by the whole thing, I think, and gave up on it, I think. And I went with, I was still doing the Brixton mural at the time, and I went with Ray Walker out to David Biddington's place to persuade him to come back and continue it. He didn't want to know. So Ray worked on that. I think Desmond Rochford also worked on it as well.
Yeah.
And they eventually completed it. And Paul Butler, I think, worked on it, didn't he?
That's
right.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was your first real job or after college? Or did you go straight into painting?
I can't remember, but I think I just went straight into painting. And living off my wits. I can't really recall, because I did so many different things, you know. Oh, yes, I worked in bedding shops and things like that. I was a bored man in a bedding shop. That would put you off gambling for life. It was very sad. You'd see people... I mean, the place would be just filled with smoke. I mean, I smoked as well in those days. I'd have a gore or a shitan hanging out the corner of my mouth and talking up the numbers on the board, listening to this inane broadcast all day. And these guys would walk in, like, drunk and whatever, and put their life, their whole week's salary on a horse. It's very sad. But I did that for a while. all kinds of things.
What type of, you told me a little about some of the artists' organisations you were part of. Did you have anything to do with the Association of Community Art or organisation in London? Yes.
I don't think so. I can't recall that.
Did you know Chemovitz? Mark.
Who?
Did you know Mark Chemovitz? His studio was...
But I'm not quite sure. I can't...
No.
It rings a bell. It's somehow familiar, but... Yeah.
He was the other end of Earlham Street from you.
Oh. Where in Earlham Street? You mean he did a mural there, or...?
No, he lived there. His, towards... is it Seven Dials? Where?
Yes,
that end of it.
Was he a painter or a photographer? Or?
He was a painter, yes. And he...
So the most likely, I knew most people there, and it's likely that we crossed paths.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So tell me a bit more about your direct colleagues of the period around Earlham Street, the other artists that you worked with, or you were in touch with? Was it an artist community, or
It was a mixture of architects, and there was David Harrison, who was an architect, who I said, you know, I went to, became the dean of the Jamaica School of Architecture, which he set up, I'm not sure, eventually. Other people who worked for the BBC, people who were photographers in the area, whose names I can't recall. And, you know, the local people.
Yeah.
I can't recall, basically, other artists that I was involved with.
Right. So was it a very singular artistic life for you then? Or?
Yes, I had, as I said, a studio in... One studio was in the building in which I lived in, and other studios were around Covent Garden warehouses. Pretty big spaces, like whole floors of warehouses.
Yeah.
Do you see that yet? No, it's not from here.
Probably take a few minutes to...
Yes, it's a painting of me working on the Earlham Street mural.
Is it one with an umbrella?
Yes,
yes.
That's, the sun is taking the sun off the palette. Those are palettes.
Right.
I made these palettes. These collapsible palettes to mix up the oil paint for the mural. And then there was a stand there, like a music stand, which would have a photograph of a section of a painting on, which I worked on for that.
What are the horizontal? Are they bricks on the right-hand corner of the wall?
They were painted on the top. Sorry. On the right-hand corner, that's the edge of the brick. Yeah, for the building.
Oh. Yeah.
And then there was a line. I think a line plaster rendering that went. And you can see it stepped out slightly there, just above my head.
Mm.
But that building was pulled. I think that building was pulled down eventually, or the site was built upon.
This may sound strange, but how did your artistic life meld with your family social life? Probably more as an adult than a a child. This is me prying.
Yeah, no, I think that they were bemused and impressed by the murals I did. I can't remember, I don't think there was actually an opening for the Erland Street mural. There should have been, but there wasn't. But for the Brixton mural, there was. I think Ken Livingston turned up, and the local council people, Gabby West, who was my contact in the Brixton GLC, London GLC, whatever it was, who was instrumental in that mural coming about. Ken Livingston was the mayor of Lambeth at the time. And I think that's written on, there's a plaque, a brass plaque or something, or there was, on a wall underneath the cinema there, at street level, commemorating the opening of the mural. And my mother and sisters came up for that opening. What's interesting about this mural is not only did I see my first movie inside that building, but just up the road from there, my father had a job at one time when I was a child in Brixton before he eventually became a life inspector in Prudential Insurance. But at that time he worked for Pride and Clark, which was just up Stockwell Park Road. So that whole neighborhood was, I knew it, as a young child. So it was strange that I ended up doing a mural there. I didn't realize where I was until afterwards, when I started, I already committed myself to doing the mural.
You already said earlier on that if someone talked to you about being an artist now, you'd tell them to think twice. What would you say about if they wanted to do mural painting?
I think for anybody, if you have to do it, you have to do it. If it's something that's just a good idea, think a few times about doing it. There's nothing that's going to stop anybody from doing something if that's what they really need to do and want to do. And I think that murals are very important. I've been thinking about it recently of either doing something for the MTA or a public artwork in New York City somewhere. But again, it would be in the style of the vernacular of what I'm working currently with, not a return to figuration.
How do you think that would be received?
I think people are very open to art here. This is a city in which people generally, unless it's something totally ridiculous, people are very interested in art. I can have the elevator guy come to my studio or an art critic come to my studio. And though the way they speak about the work may be different, essentially they get it. There isn't this kind of blinker that I've come across in England, where if you're of a certain class, you think, well, that is beyond me. That is not something I can understand. What I find about people in New York in general is that they just don't think in that way. They look at something for what it is. And if it's good, they get it. If they don't, they'll say what they think about it. But it's not like, it's abstract, therefore I can't understand it. It's a painting, and they look at it, and that's beautiful. Okay, they like it because it's beautiful, or they like it because it has certain vibration, or it speaks to them in a certain way, but they don't have this kind of idea that because they are of a certain class, they cannot understand this work that is going to be beyond their ken, which is something that I think was, and I'm not sure, because I don't know much about England these days, but it seemed to be an aspect of the kind of people I grew up with, that, that certain kinds of art they would not try to approach, because unless it was figurative, they wouldn't understand it.
Have you discussed this period of your art life with your wife, for example?
Yes, we do. We talk about development all the time, and our art. Yes.
How does she feel about it?
About my murals?
Yes.
She thinks they were wonderful, but very important. She thinks that's a very important period, you know. And she also thinks that the net artwork idea, the plexus, etc., is a very important part of my development as well. And she feels that that has led up to what I'm doing today. She can understand my work today in terms of what I had done in the past and my involvement, my engagement with communities and politics in the past, and how this, even through the work with the Holocaust, you know, trying to understand what it was in human nature that could make such a thing possible. It's really an effort, I think, an ongoing effort in a trajectory of trying to understand what our existence is about, and finally reaching this point where it's become abstract, you know, in my work, and down to something as abstract as a physical signature. You know, when I apply paint to the canvas now, it's not in terms of constructing an image. I don't start, as opposed to a mural where, you know, you already figure a painting where you draw it out beforehand and design it, or whatever. That there is a much more awareness of the potential of the accidents in the work, that the work, the painting, is, you don't create the painting creates itself. So as I said, you know, in my current work, I work in a, what I call an autogenic way, and that it's the mark is laid down, and one works without hesitation. It relates in a way to the calligraphic paintings in Asia, you know, where there was no sense of retreat in the work. The marks lay down. In my work, there's actually a lot of overlay. That marks are obscure, but the information is always coming through to the final result when the painting arrives. I never say a painting is finished. I say that the painting arrives, and you have to recognize that point of arrival. And for me, it's a point where there is a sense of continuation in the work, that the painting has become something that can continue in itself, but it's not there. And there is a sense of balance and symmetry, but where there is none. That's the contradiction. That's something I'm really fascinated by. That you bring it to the point where it just works. My idea about finishing a painting, I think if a painting is finished, it's dead. If any work of art is finished, it is dead. That's why if you go around Asia and to kyons of Korea or Japan or China, you'll find outside the kyons there are all these broken ceramics which look pretty damn good, and you say to those ceramicists, why are those thrown out? And they said, well, those were the perfect ones. Something is perfect, it's not, it doesn't have a sense of continuation. And that's something that fascinates me, because we're not perfect. We're all similar, but we're asymmetrical. We have this age where, you know, we're going to break down and die, or we're going to grow, you know, but everything grows, you know, in a fractal sense. There's a fractal edge to life, which is why it's life. You know, it's not robotic, it's organic, and it's fractal, and it's always changing, and it's always evolving, and it evolves along this principle of signature. Like the signature of what we are was contained in the first cells, something that evolved on this planet or came from elsewhere or whatever. that those signatures were there, and then they evolved eventually into what we are. What lies beyond us, who knows?
So you go on forever?
Well, we don't go on forever, do we? But the signature goes on.
Yeah.
Or it diversifies. The signature of life goes on. We don't totally eliminate ourselves along the way, which is possible.
Did you enjoy the physicality of mural painting?
Yes, I've always enjoyed physical work, labour. I've always enjoyed using my muscles, and in New York, I took a different direction. I was director of communications at an internet startup, and I was sitting down, at a computer all day, programming shopping carts and stuff as well. It's not me. It drives me crazy. I have to be physically engaged with material. Things have to be an extension of my physical action, and not just, sitting at a computer, figuring out programs.
Yeah. Your current paintings are quite large, aren't they? How big are they?
Yes, I mean, that's the other thing. I do work best on scale. The paintings vary from 9 to 6 or 8 feet. The largest painting in the studio, the largest painting is rolled up. It's 14 foot long, 14 foot by 9 foot. I exhibited that some years ago. There's a painting on the wall here, but it's covered with other canvases at the moment. And that's about... that's about 10 by 9 or something like that, or 11 by 9. I do like scale. I do work best on a larger scale than on a smaller scale, I think. But I do have much smaller paintings. They vary in size. But the painting that you see on the painting rack at the end of the studio there, I think that's probably about 7 by 8 or something like that.
So you have that same relationship to those paintings as you might have done to a mural as well, in a way.
Yes, except the mural paintings were predetermined.
You
work out the sketches and the design and the painting beforehand. Less so with the Brixton mural, because that was drawn out in scale. I don't think I may have done some colour pencil drawings for it. I think that's what I did. I think I did a maquette, which was on cardboard, which was probably only like 3 foot long, I think. Very narrow piece of cardboard. And I squared that up, and I used that. And then I used a snap line to square up the whole surface. One of my sisters helped me do that.
Did she enjoy being up that high?
I'd forgotten about it, and she reminded me recently. Some of the plasterers would come up there after I'd raked out the wall. Oh, by the way, after I raked out that wall, they then told me, "This is amazing, but you didn't really need to rake out this much." and I would never do that again in my life. But one of the plasterers would come up to the top of that scaffolding every morning. The excess was from the roof. And he would just hold on to the scaffolding, trembling like this. And I sympathize with him, because actually I have suffered with vertigo and still do occasionally, but only in certain situations. In order to go down to each level of the mural, I would have to walk all the way, like 100 foot, to the to the ladders, which would go down to the next stage or of the mural. And I got fed up doing that, so I would actually just climb down the outside of the scaffolding without any harness or anything. There's an interesting story about that mural, because when I first started painting it, the building was empty, except for a caretaker, a very nice guy. I can't remember what his name was. So he was my main contact in the building, and I'd go into the building and go up from the interior of the building, and there was a door. I don't know if you can see the mural, but below the brick wall on that sub-roof, there was a door from an iron staircase which would lead, and then I could get up the scaffolding somehow. But most of the access was from the roof. And then this rock business moved in. They started having rock concerts then, and these guys were nuts. And one day I really needed to go to the toilet, and the toilet was inside, and I was locked out, and I was banging on the door. And I think these guys were on drugs or something. The proprietor of that rock emporium came out with his crony, and the crony had a crowbar, an iron crowbar, and he had a revolver, which he pointed at my head. And I told him to remove the gun, or I was going to stick it somewhere where he wouldn't like it. And he said, "You do realize I'm pointing the gun at you?" I said, "Yeah." And then eventually they backed off. He was eventually chased over. I think he left the country because he embezzled everything. And he was, I don't know, he was a bit of a crook. But it's the only time in my life I've had a gun pointed at me. I've never had a gun pointed at me in America. Despite all the gun violence here, you know, that you hear about. But the only time I've had a gun pointed at me was there.
But you've lived to tell the tale, so.
So here.
Yeah. How do you feel looking back on the mural painting? How do you feel about talking about it in this way?
How do I feel talking? Sorry.
Am I going quiet? How do you feel about talking about the work that you've done in this way?
I see it as part of my development. You know, it's. I think that everything what you do informs the present and what you're about today. It's a part of what I am. It's not. I'm not the person necessarily I was then. You know, one changes, experience changes you. Yeah, I mean, I was very ambitious and a bit of a megalomaniac. It's just had to get bigger and bigger. But boy, that the 82 painting after that, the kids painting in Brixton, that was it. I have to get back and find out who I really was. You know, I'd got too far away from the reasons I had started painting, but I think I still feel that the murals were very valid because they are. Because they were celebrations of, you know, the community. They gave something back to the community. It was about giving something back. Yeah, it's curious that these silicate murals are the ones that have survived. They're not necessarily the best murals that were done during that period.